Hope everyone's doing well. I'm glad everyone got the memo, and I see so many people are out of town. So appreciate that. Makes it a little easier. One of the things I've discovered is not much fun growing old, you know? And before you guys over there say I'm not old. I'm old. Okay, I feel it. You know, when Gary goes to the doctor, all these people are doing their things. It's scary because I don't know. I can't fix myself. And so I go to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist got out this magnifying glass, and I swear he put it right on it, and he was looking at it like this, and he looked and looked, and he says, I think it's okay, but we'd better take it off. And so he cut it off, sent it off to the lab, and gratefully it came back as being benign. It was just an age spot after all. Maturity spot, excuse me. What do you do whenever you can't do it on your own? That's what Jesus did. Whenever Jesus came, all he did was walk around helping people who couldn't help themselves. That's what, the way I read it is that there is a time whenever I can't do it. I tried. Have you ever been there? Don't say you haven't. And I'm not talking physically. I'm not talking age spots and hair in my neck. I'm talking about what do you do whenever you're burdened in the heart? What are you doing whenever you have problems in the head? What do you do whenever you're sad and whenever you're grieved? What do you do whenever you want to do good and you're not doing that good? Sometimes it's just too much for me. And so I turn to the scripture, and it says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So my first question was this. I turned to, and I'm going to take most of my stories and things like that out of Matthew chapter 8. Right after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus up on the mount talking to the people, and he came down off of the mount. And when he came down, there was a lot of people following him, okay? And during this time, right afterwards, he did several miracles for people. And I wanted to find out today, How can I be part of that miracle? How can you be part of that miracle? First of all, my question is, who can Jesus heal? Who can Jesus heal? Well, let's look at the scripture. Let's go back to the New Testament and let's see what he says. He says he healed the blind. Says he healed a paralytic. Says he healed a leper, the dying, the dead, the starving, people possessed by demons, people who are drowning in a boat. He healed a prisoner that was hanging on the cross with him. Who can Jesus heal? Everybody. He can't not heal. Jesus can heal anybody. If I read my scripture right, there's nobody in there that didn't get part of Jesus' healing, that wanted it or needed it. I got to thinking about this and I thought, okay, have you ever been over to Barnes & Noble? One of my favorite places to go. Not one of my favorite places to spend money, but one of my favorite places to go. And I like to go over there and just browse the books, right? And then usually whenever I find one, I go home and get it on my Kindle. But anyways, I look for the books and I go through it and I just love it. It's nice. They got little comfy chairs and you go through it and they have a whole section that says it's for self-help. Self-help. If I could help myself, I don't need to go to Barnes & Noble to get a book to tell me how to do it. If you can help yourself, you don't need to be here today. Self-help, it's a little bit of an oxymoron because I can't help myself. You say, well, Eddie, you can eat right. Yeah, I can eat right, but does that stop me from getting cancer anyways? Eddie, you can live right, but does that mean that I'm not going to have people that are going to die and people in suffering? What am I going to do? How can I help myself? And the answer is, I really can't. I like to pretend I can. How many times have you... you've heard the commercials, right? If you stop smoking, okay, people who've been smoking for all these years, if they stop smoking, they can add an extra 3 years onto their life. I'm going, yay! 3 whole years and then you die? You can't stop the death. The best I can do is maybe prolong it. Maybe make it a little better in the end. Maybe I can do lots of things. But then my mother-in-law, driving down the road, gets in an accident. Like that, she was that close to death. What can I do to stop? How can I help myself? I can't. But who can? Jesus. How do I know? Because I've seen it. It's in the scripture. It talks about a man who had leprosy. Leprosy. You know what leprosy was? It wasn't a fun thing. In fact, I know somebody, a guy that I work with, he has a cousin? Hope I get that right. I don't know. Maybe a sister. Who knows? He has some kind of a relative anyways that lives in Thailand and has for years, she's retired there now, for years worked at a leper colony there. He actually has been to the leper colonies. They've got those there. That's what leper colonies have such a stigma about them, not counting the horrible disease that used to happen before we had a cure for being able to help people with that kind of a thing. So in Thailand, as you were saying, there was a Catholic church there that had a leper colony at it to help them. Jesus could help them. The blind who couldn't see, blind from birth, Jesus could help them. The cripple that couldn't walk, hadn't walked since birth, Jesus could help them. The lady who was she was like, had a blood problem, I'll just put it that way. Touches his hem. She could help her. He could help her. Who can Jesus help? Everybody. But you notice that how many times Jesus... I want you to think about this. How many times did Jesus go around the country healing people? Okay, he's walking around everywhere. They're bringing people to him left and right and helping, and people coming to him. And I'm thinking to myself, why, Jesus, if you're so good at healing people, why not just go, God, heal everybody in Galilee? Could he have done that? Of course he could. Could he not? So why not? Because Jesus' purpose on earth was not to come here and heal people. I know it sounds weird, but it wasn't about just healing people. He needed people to come to him and say, I can't do it. He was a doctor, and he needed the sick. Were the Pharisees any less ailing than the other people? Of course not. Were they perfect? Mm-mm. Did they need God? Did they need forgiving? Absolutely. And yet they wouldn't come to Jesus. And yet the man who is a centurion, he comes and he says, I've got a sick servant. He's paralyzed, he's in great pain, and he's about to die. Can you save him? Or would you save him? He didn't ask if you can. He says, would you save him? Jesus said, yeah, well, let's go. And he says, no. I don't want you to go with me. Just tell me. Just go ahead and heal him. Because I know how it is. I'm a centurion. And I have people, and whenever I need something, I don't go there. I just tell somebody else, go do it. Just say it. And Jesus said, you hear this, people? This is what it's about. It's about somebody saying, I can't do it, but you can, Jesus. You cannot get over whatever it is that's ailing you today. I'll just say it right up front before we get started. Actually, we're partway through it. But anyways, I'm going to say this, that you cannot do it on your own. Turn it over to Jesus, whatever you're doing, because Jesus can heal you. More than that, Jesus wants to heal you. In Matthew chapter, I just wrote down a few things that Jesus did. And as I already said, there was a man with leprosy in Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4 and verses 5 through 13. He says there was the paralyzed man with the centurion, 8, 14 through 15. Peter's mother-in-law is very sick. And they said, Peter's mother-in-law is really sick. Jesus, come heal her. And he came in there and he healed her. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, a paralyzed man is let down through the roof. You remember that story? He's let down through the roof, and he can't even move any of his arms and legs. Somebody else has to help him, and he gets up and walks and takes his mat. Jairus' daughter is dead. He gets there and he finds that they're mourning her death. And Jesus says, "No, she's not dead. She's asleep." And they all. And what happened though? He raised her from the dead. What can Jesus do? Go to him, and he can save you. But you have to go to the doctor. You have to do it. And you have to believe he can do it. It's funny because I get over to the doctor, over to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist said, Eddie, we're going to cut this off. And I didn't want to see, I trust him. I knew what he was doing. I said, okay, do it. And whenever he said it off, whenever he cut it off, I didn't ask to see, okay, I want a list of all the people you've cut these things off before just to make sure I'm not going to die. I trust him because he's the doctor. I didn't say, okay, whenever you send this off to the lab, I want to make sure that lab isn't one of these labs that's all contaminated and it's going to tell me I'm well when I'm not, because I trust the lab. I trust Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? Because if you do, he can heal you. The third thing, Jesus heals those whose only hope is trust in the Lord. Now, I've already kind of touched on that, but your only hope has to be Jesus. As long as your hope relies in this congregation right here, then you're not trusting in Jesus. As long as your hope relies in the self-help books at Barnes & Noble or on the rack at the checkout stand, then you're not trusting and then you don't need Jesus. As long as your hope lies in other things, in medication and other things like that, then you don't need Jesus. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but if it's not all about Jesus, then it's not about hope. Now you say, well, Eddie, wait. Now, I've got some sickness in my family. What if Jesus, you're telling me that Jesus will help that person? And it comes to my fourth point is, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to say that Barbara here, she's going to pray, we're going to pray over her and suddenly she's not going to need oxygen or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say Joni's going to get up and start dancing because we asked Jesus to come in his life. What are you saying, Eddie? Put it this way. If I were to tell you guys that I was the strongest man on earth, how many people would believe it? Chestnut did. Good. I hate to tell you I'm not the strongest man on earth, but that's another subject. So if I was the strongest man and I told you that, what good would it do for me to tell you that? All you guys are going to look at me and go, Eddie, look at those weak arms you've got. How can you be the strongest man on earth? And I said, no, I really am. And you said, no, it's a fun joke. And I said, okay, watch. I'm going to go out there and I lift up a bus. And then I put it back down again. Do you not believe I'm the strongest man on earth? Why? Because I'm able to do it, right? I'm able to do something. Now, Jesus does something very similar to this. Jesus said, okay, I can forgive sins. I can heal you spiritually. I can heal what ails you inside your head. I can heal you what ails you inside your heart. I can heal you. And they said, right, Jesus, how do you do that? And he said, okay, let me ask you this. Which is easier, for me to say you're healed spiritually or to heal somebody physically? Well, how do you answer that? Because both of them, I want you to think about this, both of them are impossible. When Jesus is out in the lake, Sea of Gethsemane, you know what I'm talking about, Tiberius, whenever he's out there in the lake and he says, you know, peace be still, who does that? Nobody. Nobody does that. Jesus did it. Whenever he said, okay, there's 3,000 people, there's 5,000 people, there's people out there starving to death, and we've got a handful of fish and loaves, who says, we'll feed everybody? Nobody says that. Nobody says that, except for Jesus. Who says, if you want to heal me, my leprosy can be gone? If he says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then my issue of blood will be gone. If he says, if I do whatever it may be, all I have to do is come to Jesus. All I have to do is ask him to come heal my daughter, my dead daughter. All I have to do is ask him to heal my centurion savior. All I have to do is ask this. Who does that? Nobody. Except Jesus. And the reason he did that was simple. It wasn't so that we would come to him with our physical ailments. It's so that we would believe that he can. He can heal you. And that's whenever I got to reading this story and I realized that this is the real story behind all the healing. The miracles were not done to save the people, because he could have saved all the people at one big fell swoop if he wanted to, if it was all about saving the people. He could have fed all the nations just like God did with the manna if it had been about feeding the people. He could have made the weather always beautiful if it had been about just saving the people. But he did what he did to say that he can save you. So I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know if it's an illness. I don't know if it's somebody has died in your family. I don't know what you're going through, and I can tell you right now that I cannot sit here and tell you that anything will ever be easy. But if it's something that is impossible right now, if you're looking at it going, I can't fix it, If you're feeling a pain, you say, I can't make it go away. If you're feeling a struggle, you're saying that I can't overcome that. If you're feeling something that you cannot defeat, I know who can. That's our Jesus. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, we have been healed. Do you believe that today? Then trust Him. Give Him everything. And I don't mean like a little bit. Okay, God, I'm going to read your Bible and then maybe you'll heal me. No, don't do that. Give it to Him. Pray in the morning. Say, okay, I don't know how you're going to do it today, God. But I'm struggling with this. And then give it to Him. And say, okay, now I'm going to go about my day. Just show me what to do every time I start to have a problem or whatever. Just show me how to get through this. And trust in Him. You open your Bible. How many times have you done this? I know there's lots of people out here who have done this. You've been struggling with something. You've been thinking about something. There's been some struggle, some problem in your life. And you open your Bible and it's like, whoa, that's the scripture I needed to read right there. You done that? You ever thought, man, I just am so depressed. I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm just going to turn it over to God. And you turn on your radio and right then they're talking about something that you needed to hear. You done that? Turn it over to God. How did Paul say, oh yeah, He has a peace that what? Passes understanding. And where did that peace come from? Oh, because he had such an easy life, right? Isn't that what you think? You know why I would have peace? I have peace because I have financial stability. I've got good health, a nice place to live. I've got everything I need. Now I'm at peace. That's not where peace comes from. Peace comes from giving it to God and trusting in Him. That's all I have today, but if you have, I'm just encouraging you that as you go out from here, stop just for a minute and say, okay, I'm going to say this prayer 20 times today if I have to. I'm going to keep going on. God, I give it to You that Your will be done. Always stand and sing.
Lord our God, above all the earth.